I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I want to just kind of touch on some of the things that we talked about with Chris Rose, who just joined us. And, of course, Chris is with us every week. Nick Shook was with us at noon. We talked to the Shooky Cookie a little bit about the NFL happenings, especially with the rulings on the Tush Push staying, new rules.
Shooky Cookie and Tush Push?
Yeah, you get all that stuff.
Nice.
Plus that and the other things that were going on in the NFL, Roger Goodell's contract extension, onside kick has been modified a little bit too. So all these kind of things going on. We talked to Nick Shook about that at high noon. And if you want to listen to either one of those, go to the Odyssey app and check out the rewind function, or just listen to the Baskin and Phelps podcast that comes out immediately after we do each and every segment. Jeff, Chris said something that was interesting about Deshaun Watson, and I really don't feel like jumping back into everything we talked about at the beginning of the show, but the notion of him being a backup quarterback for the Browns this year, if he is healthy and able to play at some point during the season.
Chris doesn't see it.
I don't see it either.
I don't either. It seems like it would be so awkward that it just wouldn't work. But then what do you do, Andy? You know, that's the thing. What are you going to do? If the guy is healthy and able to play, what are you going to do? Can you stash him? Maybe. Does he have to go along with that? I believe that he does. What if he didn't want to?
Where do you put them? You know, and just looking at the rules of the PUP list, you know, we talk about being on the IR, we talk about being on the PUP list, which is the physically unable to perform list. It means you're unable to practice at the start of training camp due to a football-related injury. You can participate in team meetings and use team facilities. You can't practice with your team, though. And, you know, it's used as a list during football-related activities before the start of training camp. And then players are placed on that list during training camp, and they count towards the team's 90-man roster. But they just can't practice. They can do everything but practice. They could return to practice after 4 weeks of being on the reserve PUP list. Players have a 5-week window to return after practice after that. So then they'd have to be on the active roster. So the PUP guys, I think we might have been a little bit off that the PUP and the injured reserve is kind of the same. Now, just looking at the rules of this. So if a player on the active PUP list isn't cleared to play by the time the regular season begins, they can be moved to the reserve or the PUP list. So, and then you go through that 4-week window, and then you have 5 weeks to come back. We watched that with Nick Chubb.
I am all
we saw
confused.
That it's really not that confusing. The question is he on the active roster or not? And once, you know, you can take him off the list during the season, but that means he's got to come back in the next 5 weeks.
Just doesn't.
He's got to be on the active roster in the next 5 weeks.
Doesn't it seem preposterous that a healthy Deshaun would be standing on the sidelines and watching Dylan Gabriel play quarterback? It feels preposterous. I don't know if...
Or Shedeur Sanders or...
Or Joe Flacco or...
I mean, we just walked down that road last year.
Anybody. I don't know. It's a bad situation. And as Chris said, and I've felt this way the whole time, so have you, when Jimmy Haslam said, we took a big swing, we had a big swing and a miss. Chris said that felt like past tense. Absolutely. It feels as if, and then he said, and we've got to get it right. We're not going to rush this, you know, rush the quarterback. I mean, Jimmy Haslam talked about Deshaun as if it were past tense. Now, all of a sudden,
he can walk
Albert
back
Breer and everybody else says, hey, look at it. Here he comes.
Yeah. And then a month later, we're talking about him throwing passes and walking around without the boot on and trying
that's
to gear
been off
up
for
and,
a while. But I mean, that's part of the healing process of that. It's just, you know, being out of a boot and being able to play pro football, two different things.
True. I see a path for him being on the active roster later in the season. I just don't want to believe it, I think. And I also think fans don't want to believe it either. It's, and there, let's, let's not lie, there is some excitement about the young quarterbacks they brought in. There's Pickett excitement too. Because, I mean, you could, and there's clearly Joe Flacco excitement.
Pickett excitement.
Everybody I hear is like, oh, Joe Flacco's back. He's going to start. Can't wait to see him back on the field. They forget about everything that happened in Indy last year.
It's going to make a really poor taste joke. I'm going to refrain.
There are fans who are genuinely excited about the thought of Joe Flacco being the starting quarterback week one of this team.
Yeah, which sums up everything.
There are some fans that are saying Kenny Pickett has never really had a fair shot. And look, the Browns like him. He's young and now has the opportunity to lead this team.
I'll give you a little excitement on that one.
Okay, so that's sitting there. But
Let's see if Sanders can, you know, be what some people thought he was. Some people are so high on Shedeur Sanders, it's silly. And I don't mean silly as in preposterous. I mean silly as in, wow, aren't you excited about him? Oh, Mel Kiper thought he was terrific. Number one quarterback in the class. And other people had him high on their draft boards all the way around, Andy, for every position. And here they get him in the fifth. What I'm truly looking forward to, and maybe I shouldn't be, but I am, I don't think any of these options is great, but I want to see if one of these four guys can go out and be really good, light it up. And obviously, I'm not pushing for Flacco. You know that, and it's solely based on Joe's age. I'm looking for a long-term answer here. I don't want a short-term answer. I'm hoping one of these guys can turn into the long-term answer. That's why I don't think of Joe as a potential starter for this team. Because if he is, and I'm not ruling that out, if he is, it means that the other three guys who they brought in who they think might be able to give them a little length as the starting quarterback didn't do the job. And that to me would be very disappointing. It would be disappointing if Joe ends up as the starting quarterback.
Unless, I'm going to give you the option that I can see here. Let's say Flacco comes out hot and they win games that they're not supposed to win, and we're all just kind of mesmerized by we're watching Joe Flacco come back and do what he was able to do during the regular season the last time he was here. If plan A, and I doubt this is plan A, but what if plan A is we're drafting a quarterback next year and we're going after the number one pick no matter what, and we'll still have two first-round overall picks, and let's hope that Jacksonville is absolutely horrible and hands us the number one pick in the draft next year. You never know. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, my quarterback of the future is still in college, and Joe Flacco is the guy that can lead us to right now? I can live with that.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, nobody likes it when I say this. Since Joe left Baltimore, he's been with four different teams. And now he'll have been with one of those teams a second time. And I thought he did a great job when he filled in here.
Mm-hmm.
Since he left Baltimore, his record as a starting quarterback is 9-19. And if you take out what he did here with the Browns, his record as a starting quarterback since he left Baltimore is 5-18. I don't understand the excitement that people might have for a 40-year-old guy who is 5-18, other than the 4-1 with the Browns, since he left Baltimore as your starter.
Because
or 9-19 as a starter since he left Baltimore. I don't understand the excitement.
For the same reason that you have no excitement for Deshaun Watson, because he hasn't really done anything positive on the field since he got here. That's all Flacco did. With the exception of the playoff game, he did not bring the same kind of excitement and optimism to Browns fans that Joe Flacco did, regardless of age, regardless of his time outside of Baltimore to here.
This isn't
fans
about
fans get
Watson
excited about, well, it's about success. Joe had success outside of the and success is
in five,
is relative.
In five games here, yes. He had success, yes.
And think about what we've watched since 99. Five games of success is an eternity for Browns fans. To be able to think that you could walk out on the field and see the Browns actually win a game. So if Browns fans might be, if I don't want to say you think this, but if in some ways, if Browns fans are misguided in thinking that the Browns have hope and optimism because of Joe Flacco, I have no problem with that.
Deshaun Watson's record in Cleveland is better than Joe Flacco's record outside of Baltimore.
Deshaun Watson's record.
He's 9-10 in Cleveland.
Okay.
In 19 starts.
Okay.
According to Football Reference. And Joe's record is 9-19. So I understand Deshaun hasn't had success here. I'm just pointing out.
Joe was 5-1 as a Browns quarterback, right?
4-1
as the Browns quarterback. Mm-hmm. So Joe's winning percentage blows away Deshaun's winning percent.
Well, in five games.
Doesn't matter. I mean,
I'm looking at a body of work since he left Baltimore.
But so you're looking at a limited, they're both limited, Deshaun and Joe. This is about skewing numbers here.
No, these are just facts. I'm not skewing anything.
But the fact is, the Browns and Browns fans had hope with Joe Flacco.
Good.
He brought victories.
If you want to roll him out, go ahead. I think it'll be a colossal failure if Joe is the starting quarterback, because it means that the three young guys who you are keeping your fingers crossed on, and I'm not saying any of those guys are any great shakes, but clearly the plan is we want one of these young guys to step up and win the job.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it that way at all. I think if Joe Flacco starts, it's because they have an experienced quarterback that they want to put out there. It's that Kenny Pickett was what the Steelers said Kenny Pickett was, regardless of his offensive coordinator. And it also means that they have two young quarterbacks that they just don't want to put on the field yet in the NFL, and they're actually going to let them learn the game a little bit more before they put them in a starting position. And if Joe happens to be winning, then their learning curve becomes greater. And maybe perhaps that the whole thing doesn't work, and that Flacco is successful as the quarterback of the Browns, and they know that that window is short, and maybe perhaps they are thinking, hey, we're drafting our quarterback of the future in the first round.
I would think Sanders might need a little time. I don't think Dylan Gabriel does. Either Dylan's going to be good or he's not. He's 6 years in college playing extensively.
But I'll use a line you use. The league passed on him. At least everybody in the league passed on him at least twice.
I'm not condoning any of these guys, Andy. They're all question marks. You want me to condone a guy? I'll condone a guy. J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. Wish we had him.
Because he's done what?
Because
he's done what in the league?
It has nothing to do with what he's done.
It has something to do
with what he might do. I think he has a higher ceiling than these other guys. I'm just saying, there are other guys out there that I would prefer than to anybody who's in this quarterback group, but they're not here. So these are the guys we have to deal with.
I watched J.J. McCarthy play in college, and I understand.
It's not about J.J. McCarthy. My point is, none of these guys are any great shakes, and that includes Flacco.
But we also don't know that Shador Sanders is going to be a great shake, or Dylan Gabriel,
exactly,
or J.J.
which is
McCarthy.
Why you go compete and you figure it out. That it's wide open. Somebody go win the job. Go win it.
And I agree with that. But my other point is, I can't sit here and tell you that if Joe Flacco is the week one starter, that something's wrong. I can't look at it that way.
That's fine. I can.
Yeah, I can't. I just don't see it that way. All right, let's come back. I do want to talk about the NBA playoffs and interesting dilemma. Knicks, Pacers. Can you feel some vindication for the Cavaliers and where they were had to bow out in the playoffs if the Pacers win? Does that make you feel better, Cavs fans? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.